This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Larry Steinhaus Show.
That's hysterical. They changed the name to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I love it. That's just I was wondering if they were actually going to do that.
One day.
Yeah, what was that? Like 6 months now we've been talking about them changing the name to Larry
Steinhaus?
I know, but let me do my intro because I was confused by it.
Can you just make sure you add the live?
So yeah, we can do that, right?
People will know that we are live.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not another recorded show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, welcome to the Larry Steinhaus Presents Investor Schooling, right?
Good.
There you go. Hey, we are live and transmitting from the Investor Schooling Studios right here in Investor Schooling headquarters. I am Larry Steinhaus, and I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. I'm here with my co-host,
Omri Morad.
Dr. Deb is out today. She's actually
at the doctor appointment.
Is there a doctor appointment? No. She's actually working on one of her properties. She had to go to Monroe. Not Monroe. Different property.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. Our show is simply described as edutainment. We promise to entertain you while you learn about the world of real estate investing, the stock market, and many other financial things. Hey, you can call us anytime during the show with your questions at
855-939-1137.
That's
855-939-1137.
Yes, we are a live show.
We are.
We are not lazy like the rest of the people on Saturday that do their show pre-recorded. Sometime, you know, and who even knows when they pre-recorded their show?
How can you take advice from someone who is not dedicated enough to come on Saturday and do their show live?
Exactly. I mean, that's how dedicated we are to you. We're dedicated to you so much that we come here on our Saturday. Mm-hmm. Army has to get a babysitter for his kids.
Correct.
Right? Uh-huh. Right? And and I can't go away with my wife because we're dedicated to you.
Yes, we are.
So, do me a favor and give us a call at
855-939-1137.
We have to record you saying that, so when you're not here, we can use the voice.
That's the essence of Investor Schooling.
Right.
Larry.
That needs to be the logo.
Some of those shows were recorded back in 1957. I don't know.
I know, right? Exactly. Especially those guys who are selling annuities. Oh, my goodness.
It's WPHT, your archive.
They sell annuities, right?
Yeah.
What are they selling annuities for? Do you know why registered reps sell annuities?
Because they have to?
No.
Because they have no other product?
No. Because it's the most commission paid of anything that they sell. That's why when a registered rep says to you, hey, buy an annuity, lock up your money for all this time. Don't have any access to it, and if you decide you really need access to it, we're going to fine you with a big penalty.
So what I didn't get about annuities is that, according to the graphs, in the first year or two, you lose money.
That's right. That's exactly right. It takes about 8 years before you catch up, and then when you actually catch up, you're making money now on your money, but you've lost 8 years of money, so even though you're making money, you're only making money on your initial deposit 8 years later.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And look, I have to tell you, there are places for annuities. Annuities are not as an investment. Annuities are for what the vehicle was invented for. You give somebody a large sum of money, like $1,000, whatever it may be, $100 million. Yeah. No, it's not safe. And they will calculate your death, what year you're going to die, and they're going to take a certain percentage of interest on that money, and they're going to give you a check every month based on your life expectancy and that money.
Okay.
That's what annuities were designed for. They were never designed to be a savings vehicle or a investment vehicle. And now what happens is these investment advisors, because, you know, they have a license to steal. Yeah, everybody knows that a registered rep has a license to steal.
Yes.
And the registered rep, like the people who, you know, sell, like there's a show, I think it's on after ours, that sells annuities, right? And you don't want to buy those annuities because they're gonna basically steal your money. Yeah, we teach this, and here's the best part. We don't sell annuities. We don't sell any products. We only sell education.
Yeah.
And because we sell education, you can learn the difference between an annuity, a life insurance policy, a mutual fund, a other investments, the stock market, and even how to lend money to real estate investors and make more money from day one than you will in any annuity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't matter to me because I don't sell a product. I don't make commission. I don't make commission on anything you do. If after I'm all done teaching you annuities and you think they're the greatest thing ever, good luck. At least you have an education.
Yeah.
It's not where the guy goes, oh, yeah, you give me your money and 8 years from now, it'll be zero. It won't be zero, but it'll be less than what you gave me. But that's okay. That doesn't matter. What matters is we're in it for the long term. Yeah, you're in it for the long term because you're now stuck in that annuity for the long term. So
how long? What's the minimum term?
Well, before you can even get your money back, it's 8 years. Sometimes 10.
Yeah.
So in other words, you give them $100,000, and if you want to pull out of that annuity 3 years from now, you may only get $92,000.
So the thing I guess I don't get is we know how great our life insurance those days, and that in 8 years, you not only can get all your money back, you can also go above what
okay, so what you're talking about is you're talking about a whole life policy.
Exactly. It's a whole different thing.
But it's a specially designed whole life policy.
Correct.
So it's not like the typical whole life that you're, you know, that your, I don't know, your uncle sells. This is a whole life policy that most people don't know how to do, and that's something different. But I don't want to get into that at the moment. I was just bashing annuities because I another student came to me before they were a student. You know, they bought an annuity. What do? I go, you're stuck. There's nothing you can do. By the way, we got a caller. Lewis, what's going on?
Hey, are you there?
What's happening?
Okay. Before you beat me up, I got a question for you. You
okay.
know, the dead zone, I've been trying to figure out from the rule, is the dead zone to each individual stock, or is it a general term for all the stocks? For the whole dividends.
So I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding. What did you say?
Okay. I'm talking about stock, not real estate. You know
right.
the rule that you got? The 17 rules. The dead zone.
Oh, the stock options.
45 days after earnings, right?
Wait, say that again?
45 days after earnings.
It's the dead zone. Which is something I teach called the dead zone. Yes, okay.
Okay, the question
Lewis,
I have
you,
for you
You're
is,
a student, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now I know who you are. I just, it's, for whatever reason, you're very muffled.
Lewis, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not. I'm using my earbud.
You just muffled. Oh, yeah, that's just the same thing as a speakerphone. The earbuds are worse, actually.
Okay. Anyway, the question I have is this. When you do the dead zone, is that the 45 days, is that for each individual stock? In other words, if a stock dividend day is 30 May, for instance.
Yeah, so
you do
it
45
is,
days
it,
from there.
It's from 45 days after the earnings period. So it's usually that week. So if you span it out 7 days, you know, on either side, that's usually the dead zone. So what Lewis is talking about is we teach a set of rules for stock options, and one of them includes something called the dead zone. And I discovered something very interesting, that in between earnings, so the day of earnings announcement, you're going to have the stock is either going to pop or drop. Sometimes it pops, sometimes it drops, depending on the earnings or depending on the market, like Meta the other day. They did fine, but they dropped, I don't know, 60 or 70 points, which was ridiculous. And now they're going to start heading into the next earnings season. And about 45 days from now, it should be, it's not always, but it should be the lowest point-ish of the stock before the next earnings. So a lot of people started trying to buy.
My question to you, Larry, is that 45 days, is that for that individual stock or for the whole earnings season?
No, it's for that individual stock.
In other words, let's say I'm dealing with Apple. Apple's earnings is today or whatever. I come 45
Coming
days
up this
from
week,
now.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, so it's 45
yeah, well,
days from...
It, but...
Lewis, you want me to answer the question that I've answered twice?
Yes.
Okay, for the third time, it's for each individual stock. So the day the earnings are announced of that stock... The dead zone is approximately 45 days from then. You get it?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, cool. Now get your, I almost said the wrong word. Get your butt back to class, and we'll see you. We'll see you in class on Monday, right?
No, you won't.
All right, then we won't. Then we won't see you in class on Monday.
No, you won't. I'll tell you what I'm doing when I get there. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Luis.
We'll get you when you get back. All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn.
Bye.
That was a. It was very tough to understand him, but we got through.
We got through.
We got through.
We always.
Right. Anyway, where were we? I was talking about annuities being the worst investment on the planet.
Correct.
Oh, man. It's over and over and over again. I get these students coming in. I have this annuity. What do I do with it? One time I actually bought someone's annuity out. Like basically, like they put 100 grand. It was actually 100 grand. It happened to me. They put 100 grand in. If they surrendered the annuity, they've had it for 3 years. If they surrendered the annuity, it was $95,000. I gave them 8% of their money guaranteed, and I gave them the $5,000 difference to lend me the money.
So, wait. How much you pay in order to break an annuity?
You pay a surrender charge.
Which is like?
It could be 5%? Up to 10%.
Up to 10%?
Up to 10%, yeah.
Okay.
And it goes down every year. So, like, the first year, it could be up to 10%. By the ninth year, it could be 2% or 3%. And the money that you put in, 100% of it doesn't go to work for you. Less than 100% goes to work for you. Because it's so bizarre how they do this.
Yeah, I don't get why people, what pushed people to actually put their money in annuity?
I don't know.
It's like only a safe place for money.
I'll tell you, here's the people that push people into annuity. Registered reps.
Yeah.
That want to feed them. They want to feed their family with the commissions.
I know.
So anyway, if you ever listen to people talk about annuities, like after our show, you might want to just be a little skeptical.
Exactly.
In fact, I can tell you something else.
That's the question.
2 weeks ago, I was listening to a show that might be after our show.
Might be.
Might be. And the guy actually said in his show, he goes, I've been doing this for 30-something years, he goes, right? Remember, I've been doing this for 42 years, but that's different. But he goes, I've been doing this for 30-something years. And he goes, I used to think annuities were terrible up until 10 years ago. You know why that changed?
It should be the opposite.
No, you know why that changed?
Why?
Because 10 years ago, all the annuity companies raised their commissions.
It's good for him.
Exactly. Isn't that funny? And that's what we have to deal with right now. So anyway, I'm done with my annuity rant.
Exactly.
But it absolutely drives me crazy. Let's get back to the fact that we're a live show.
We are a live show.
Right. And people can call in, use the number?
855-939-1137.
So now everybody on the station listening that has annuities just turned us off.
Exactly.
Because they were mad at me because I pointed out the truth.
And because they just logged on and see that their money don't make any money.
Right, exactly. Or make very little. Right. I mean, it's amazing out there, the things that go on.
I know.
And the things that go on with people selling you their, I don't know, their annuities and their mutual funds and their, mutual funds. I mean, look, mutual funds are probably the better, much better investment than annuities, but mutual funds, they give unrealistic expectations on mutual funds. And all you need to know is, you just need to know that. It's not that mutual funds are bad, but their mutual funds is where a bunch of people get together.
Yeah.
So like, let's say we had, 100,000 people put all their money together.
Yeah.
And all those 100,000 people, they each own a certain amount of shares. Let's say they're just on one, just to make it easy. So they put their money in. They each own a number of shares. Let's say it's one. And that fund now invests in multiple companies. It can invest in 20, 30, 40, 100 companies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And makes money for all those people. And each one of those people make money. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is, and it's not necessarily a problem, it's just that there are unrealistic expectations. Now, you do know that the money manager, we talked about this the other day in class, the money manager in those funds makes how much?
15%.
50%. 50? 50. So when they make you $100...
Wait, all of them make
all of them.
50%?
Some more. Some make more than 50%.
50% of the profit.
50% of profit. Some make more.
So when somebody say that their mutual fund made 8%,
right,
this mutual fund could be 16%.
No, not 16.
of the profit, you said.
Yeah, but it's going to be even higher than that because now there's fees that go to the brokerage. There's fees that go to buying the stocks and selling the stocks. So when they made 8%, this fund probably did 20 or 30%.
This comes in a conflict because sometimes people look at wholesaler, for example, in our business, in real estate, and they say, this person is going to make 10 or 20 grand without doing anything. Just because he's selling me a property.
They found the property.
Exactly. I don't care how
much
they
make. I don't
care
either.
They can make as much as they want. As long as the deal is good for me, it's good for me.
That's right.
I never look at it like they're greedy.
No.
But to take 50%, for some reason, I can't get it. I can't get enough. It's so greedy.
No, I understand. But that's what it is. It's not greedy. But remember, these guys make no salary. They make a small salary, and they're in there. They're on fire all day long because you know their distress is ridiculous. So I'm all for them making as much money as they want, but just understand that when your mutual fund, the expectation of your mutual fund is 10 or 12%, it only makes 8%. That's pretty common, and 8% is not bad. But then, don't forget there's the money manager. Not the money manager, but your registered rep. Who takes 1.5 to 2% of your entire account that year as a fee?
Capital and earnings.
And even if let's say you put $100,000 in, right? 1% of that is how much?
$1,000,
right?
Yeah.
Well, 2% of that is $2,000, right?
Yes.
So let's just use 2%. Make it easy. So if they have $100,000 in that you invested, your money manager makes. Your registered rep makes $2,000. Now, if he made you 100, if he made you 10%, your account is now what? 110, right?
Yeah, but he make the 10% from the print.
Wait, check it out. You're going in the right direction, right? So now your account is 110,000.
Exactly.
Which means he makes $2,200. So how much did you really make? 7.8%.
Okay, now if...
Not 8%.
If I lost, let's say I'm at 90.
Beautiful. Next, you guess how much he gets?
$2,000.
2%. He gets 1,800.
Okay, so he also takes the loss.
Same percentage.
Okay, good.
Why is that good? That's
because
good for him.
I was afraid that you're about to say that he still make the $2,000, even if
he made 2% of what's left in the account. So no matter what, you're losing money always. But you have to make a lot of money to make up for all the money that you're paying.
I know.
The registered rep. So you guys have to be aware of this stuff.
And until something very bad will happen and people will need no places to live, I still think that real estate is always the safest.
Always the safest and best place to invest your money.
The safest.
Now it's funny because people are like, well, what happens when the real estate market crashes and it's about to crash? Who cares? Army, how much are all my properties worth together right now?
What do you care?
Zero.
Exactly.
Right? Zero. Or what do I care? I don't care how much my properties are worth. You know what? All I care about is that the rent pays the mortgage
expenses.
And I make money on top of that.
No,
not the mortgage, but pays all the expenses, correct? Mm-hmm. And I make money on top of it. That's why real estate will always be the greatest investment.
I know.
Because I've got dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people going to work every day.
To pay
my bills.
I know.
I love it.
I know. Me
it's
too.
Just fantastic.
I know.
This is true capitalism.
And I take it to the next level with that. Because even though I'm not taking a lot of money out of my properties, I make sure that in every one of my properties, I don't need more than 2 months to pay all my bills. Of rent.
So think about this, right?
Uh-huh.
So now let's say you have, I don't know, you have $150,000 equity in your property because you waited some time.
Yes.
And you're like, you know what? I want to take $100,000 and go somewhere. Go do something with it. Whatever. Buy a car.
Exactly.
Right? Whatever. Right? So you go to your property and you take $100,000 out. Your property increased $150,000 in equity.
Mm-hmm.
You now borrowed out $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
How much taxes do you pay on that $100,000?
Nothing.
Nothing. You know why it's nothing? Because it's not income.
No,
it's debt.
It's all part of the fixed asset.
And who pays that debt?
What do you mean? The tenant.
The tenant, right.
Exactly.
What an awesome... I mean, it's like when you think about how great real estate is...
No, I think what you need to understand... What people need to understand here, if you look accounting-wise, you don't pay at all, and you even earn. Why do you earn? Because while the principal that you pay back to the bank is part of the fixed asset, the interest is an expense.
It's deductible, exactly.
It's an expense, and it's
the
deductible.
Crazy thing about that, right? The fact that I'm deducting the interest from my account,
yes,
from my taxes,
payment,
and I didn't even pay the interest. The tenant paid the interest.
I know.
Isn't that awesome?
The best thing in the world.
It's absolutely amazing.
The best
thing
in the world. Anyway,
I've gone off on a lot of things at the moment. So if you want to call in right now, just ask us any question about real estate, about annuities, about...
No annuities.
Investments. All right, I don't care. No annuities. About investments, about politics. I don't really care. But we are a live show. Today is what? April 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe we're still on at 2 o'clock.
We are.
It's unbelievable.
I'm going to sleep after
this. This is when everybody takes a nap at 2 o'clock. That's why nobody's listening.
Beside... Kimmy.
Yes, well, I meant to say, we got a couple of people online saying hi. We got Kimmy online saying hi. We got Jim online saying hi. And also, Kimmy just said in the Odyssey app, it finally says the Larry Steinhaus Show, not Investor Schooling. Isn't that amazing?
I know.
How long ago did I want to change that? I think it was a year ago.
Yeah, something like that. I know.
But you know why? You know why they changed it?
Why?
Because George Soros.
Who is?
Is now investing in Odyssey. Oh, you don't know who George Soros is?
No.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Glenn's face right now, cringing.
No, I just think that I was pretty sure. I'm very sad that I didn't make it last week where you were in the station.
Yeah, it was
because to me the station is only Glenn.
Yeah,
there's nobody else there. Nobody else. You can't talk to anybody
else. Beautiful station. Yeah? Beautiful studio. Yeah, beautiful
okay.
studio. Yeah, and you know they spent a whole lot of money on it when it was Entercom, when it was Radio.com.
Okay,
they spent a whole lot of money on it. It was beautiful. And then they just didn't make the money they were supposed to make. And I think they rebranded it. I don't think they actually sold it. But then, you know, there were some financial issues, and now George Soros Fund invested in Odyssey, which means that, you know, eventually.
Who is he?
He is I think the best way to describe him is the devil.
The devil?
Yes.
From Georgia?
No.
Okay.
George Soros.
Okay.
That's his name. So the best way to describe him is the devil. As a matter of fact, if you ever watch Star Wars, and they have the, what's the guy? The really bad guy with the hood on.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Help me out here, Glenn. The Sith Lord?
Yeah, the Sith Lord, but what's his name?
I forget.
The guy with the corroded face.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, it's like, wow. You know, Star Wars got it right. It's funny. It looks just like him. Anyway, when you talk, you know, he's like, he controls all the Democrats. He controls all the money flow. It's a long, you know, it's a long, long story into the Illuminati. If you're really into all of that. All right. So anybody wants to give us a call, talk about anything else, the phone number is
855-939-1137. Again.
Yeah. And if you're watching online, you can leave comments, and we should be able to see them. All right. And
we do see them.
By the way, somebody says, I'm good at math because I was doing the annuity stuff at 2%. So Mo online says that I'm good at math. So thank you, Mo. I appreciate you saying I'm good at math. I should be good at math.
You should.
I have to count money every day.
Especially with what you're doing. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of money, I got to tell you what happened.
Oh, after the commercial break?
No, we got some time.
Okay, go.
So where are we going this week?
We are going to Florida on Tuesday morning to check on our investment property. It's not a property. It's a mobile home site.
Right. And
we are going to drive back with two cars.
Right. So Army bought a car a few months ago that we haven't driven back yet. And I bought a car the other day. It was a 1993 Cadillac Elante in beautiful condition, 28,000 miles. So I'm adding this to my car collection.
Okay.
So am I from an estate? So it's basically, it's funny because I keep thinking this is going to be me. Not me, but this is going to be my kids selling off my cars.
Okay.
So this guy had a car collection and this is one of his cars. And so.
He's not with us anymore.
No, he passed away.
Yes.
And his family's selling off his assets, you know, so they can get their money. I got it for a good price. I got it for $10,000, which is phenomenal. I mean, it's a good price. It's not a great price, but it's a good price.
It's 28,000 miles, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, it's
amazing. It's come on.
So I wanted to. So I made yesterday. I get the account number and I wire the money to her, to the daughter, who is the executrix of the will.
Mm-hmm.
I wire the money to her. And for some strange reason, the bank I'm using, which is Wells Fargo, the bank I'm using has two pages. The first page, you put in the routing number.
Yes.
And then you go to the next page and you put in the
account number,
right?
Correct.
Well, I put in a routing number. I got that right. I went to the second page and guess what I did?
You put the routing number again.
I put the routing number again.
You can't.
Yeah, you want to bet?
It doesn't have enough digits.
You want to bet? So it sent my wire to an unknown place of my money for this car. So I called her up. I didn't realize it at first, of course. I didn't find out until today. I called her up and I said, hey, listen, I wired the money. Did you get it? Because I wanted her to FedEx me the title.
Yes,
so
correct.
So I put the title in my
overnight, name. Yeah. Right.
So she goes, I didn't get it yet. I can't FedEx you a title. I'm like, I know, but where's my money? She goes, I don't know. And back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I said, what's the account number I wired it to again? And she gives me the account number. And I look online. I realize I wired it to the routing number. And come on, really? You know, we have advanced AI.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Advanced AI, right? Why doesn't advanced AI know that, hey, you obviously put the wrong number in if it's the routing number twice? But no, they sent my money to some unknown location that doesn't exist, and I have a confirmation number that has this unknown money sent to somewhere.
So it also need to verify by the name. That's at least in Bank of America.
Yeah, you would think, right?
That's what they do.
Yeah, but
unless it do verify, he asks you and he tells you you can't transfer because the name doesn't match the account number.
That's not what this did. The only thing this did was verify. The only thing it would let me do is it would verify. It would verify. The only thing it would let me do is verify the routing number, but not the account number. So I went to the bank this morning, and I'm like, in a panic, because, you know, if you make this mistake, when you wire money, and you wire money to somebody else's account accidentally, they don't have to give it back. I mean, you know, it's fraud if they keep it, but it's not easy to get it back.
So if you wire to the right routing number, right, you know what bank is it, right?
Yeah. So I have to call Wells Fargo again on Monday. I was told today by the banker when he did a bunch of research that they will, as soon as they realize the mistake, they're going to send the money back to me. I go, when? And they go, it could take up to 14 days. So I'm like, great. You know, luckily I have other money that I can use to buy the car and wait for the money to come back. But that's what I did. I wired it to the wrong account.
Ooh.
Isn't that terrible? So this is great. Here's a question up here. You ready for this? And I'm going to ask this question very slowly. There's a guy who's online who asked me a question. He says, why doesn't your show go to Saturday morning at 10 p.m. and be part of the Saturday morning financial lineup on WPHT?
We need to...
Well, here's the answer. You ready? Because, let me see if I could give this answer
in the right
clearly,
way.
Right?
Exactly.
PHT, us.
Good.
PhD, us. You understand what I mean, Ryan? PhD, us.
We need to be lazy.
Get it?
And record a show.
Yeah.
And give bad advice. And then we will be at 9.
Right.
At 9.
So here's the answer, Ryan. Since you brought it up, did you know that on PhD, you can have two financial shows back to back, which is total bull?
Oh, man.
it's complete bull.
Good.
You know why? Because if that was true, there wouldn't be a financial show after our show that we lead into and give them all the business that we don't sell by talking about.
What? Where'd you guys go? We lost the feed. Larry. They vanished. All right.
I vanished.
You vanished. You're back. Oh, my. I was about to start running some commercials there. Are you there?
What? No.
Dude,
what?
I swear you dropped out for a solid.
Did I really?
Ooh. Yes. So someone from WPHT do listen.
Really?
Larry, that was not a bit. You dropped out for a solid 10 seconds.
No, really?
Were you able to hear me?
That's hysterical. Now, I think I know what happened because I noticed a bunch of lights light up on my dashboard just now. I think we lost internet feed, but we just happened to lose internet feed just when I was saying how, you know, PhD, us.
Okay.
I was ready to go to commercials because I was.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're on.
Now you're on.
Kimmy's going. What happened? I don't know. We lost internet for a minute. It happens. You know, that's the problem. The problem is, you know, everything is connected by this thing called the internet.
Yeah.
And George Soros controls the internet.
But Al Gore invented it.
With the hoodie on.
Today's conspiracy day and don't buy annuity day.
I know. Exactly.
Well, as a matter of fact, why don't you take us to commercial? We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of hearing about the recession that's coming? Are you prepared for it? Well, listen, at investorschooling.com, we're going to teach you ways to prepare for the recession that you didn't even know existed. We're going to teach you strategies on how to use real estate. We're going to teach you strategies how to use the stock market properly. That's right, you can even make money in the stock market when the stock market goes down. Hey, go to investorschooling.com and register for a free class this Thursday night, and you will learn all of these techniques. Go to investorschooling.com right now, RSVP for this Thursday. We'll see you there. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to investorschooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. Investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com.
Are we live?
We are live. In fact, we lost the stream on Facebook, too, somehow. So it's funny. So Ryan says, it looks like WPHT killed the streaming, which is very funny. But we lost the stream on Facebook, and I'm not sure why we lost the stream on Facebook, because I thought we restarted it. But who knows? I don't know what's going on. I guess I could, I might be able to restart it, but I don't know what's going on. But anyway, who cares? We'll get the people on. We'll get the people in the car. Matter of fact, they missed all that great stuff going on. Let me see if I can get give me 1 second here while I see if
we
I
have,
can
we have a student that would like to say gremlins right now.
Oh, I bet I know who the student is.
I know who the student is.
Really? All right.
Every time something happens,
I'll start a new stream. Maybe that'll work. Who
gremlins.
Knows? We got problems. We got problems all over the place here. All right. So anyway, welcome back to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I am Larry Steinhaus. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. I'm here with my co-host, Ami Marad. We're talking about money. We're talking about all kinds of cool stuff. And
all kind of bad stuff.
Did we get the streaming back? I don't even know if we got the streaming back. Oh, well. I think we have an internet problem in here. It looks like we got it. Okay. All right. So if you guys are online, my apologies that we lost the stream. And if you guys are listening in the car, we're just rambling right now. But if you guys want to call, actually, somebody call. Some next person who calls, get a copy of my book. My book is Money Hacks.
Okay.
It's all about everything that you think you know about money is wrong.
Yeah, how to wire money
how
the right way.
To the wrong place. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. How not to buy annuities. Every advice, every mistake that we did in our life is mentioned there. So you won't do it.
Not mistakes you made in your life, the mistakes I made in my life. I've been preventing you from making some of those mistakes, but you still have a habit of making some of those mistakes.
Some of them, I know.
But you're getting much better.
I won't say anything, but I'm pretty sure we have a new worst landlord, and we can't talk about that right now.
No, all right, I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about that.
Not yet.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we'll talk about that next week. So how are we doing with our mobile home park?
So we are almost done. We have two more units. And the one unit that is ready for renovation, and it's actually not in such bad shape, needs to be painted. We need to put new bathroom there, right? And we need to figure out if we're going to make it a two or a three bedroom. We need to remember this is the biggest unit we have in the park.
Right, and you keep saying you want to make it a three bedroom, which I think is silly.
I think that in the last 3 months, and that we own the park, and I also include our visit to the mobile home dealers, we saw that the most desirables are the three bedrooms.
Yeah,
apparently,
maybe.
Because of rent prices, I think people understand that even a family with two kids, or maybe even three kids, are considering a mobile home because the prices of rents are so high.
In Florida, I know.
Everywhere. I'm a tenant myself.
I know. I'm amazed at how... I mean, when we bought that park, I said...
You we'll said 1,000 to 12.
Yeah, I said $1,000 to $1,200.
I know.
And the park owner said, no, you're going to get 15. I'm like, no way. And this is... I think you get higher. So... Army put them up for like 18,
for
17,
for
16.
How much I rented the first one, you remember?
18, almost 19, right?
18, and now with the shed, it's 19.
I'm blown away. People are paying $1,900 for a mobile home park? For a mobile home?
So you think about that, but you need to also consider that people are buying or renting a lifestyle. Those people have a home on the water.
Yeah, I guess.
And they wake up in the morning.
It is a beautiful place.
They are in a tropical weather.
Yeah.
And they enjoy every minute.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a mobile home, but the vibe there, every time we go back from Florida, me and you.
Yeah, we want to stay there.
We're like depressed. We sit in the lounge. We're like, really? We need to go back? It's so cold in
here. Well, this week, we have to drive back. Oh,
I know.
That's going to be a nightmare. But we'll do it.
We need to figure out if we can still make it. Because you need a plate. We can take another plate or do something else. But we need to figure out if it's still possible to do it on Monday.
To do what?
On Tuesday, sorry.
I got it under control.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we came up with an agreement.
Good.
I just got to bring a certified check.
Okay.
So I'm hoping my money comes back on Monday. If it doesn't come back on Monday, then I have a problem. But it's not even a problem.
She will let you use the plate.
Yeah, I'll get the money from somewhere else.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. Anyway, you guys online, you want to give us a call, 855-939-1137?
No. It's 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137.
All right.
What and now?
If you give us a call,
they get a free book.
A copy of my book called Money Hacks.
The best guide for life that I think a teenager can have.
Oh yeah, I've had teenagers read this book and be like, wow. Set them on the right course from day one.
Because even in school they put them on the wrong track of how to manage money.
Yes. Agreed.
And it's so bad.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
And it's so bad. And I think this book is enlightening.
Yeah, if you read this book you'll get a lot of knowledge about money. It'll be very different. Ken is saying hi. Ken is online saying hi, too.
Woo-hoo.
Hi, Ken. Let's see if we got anybody else coming back in from online. I don't know. We might. We might not. It's just we have. All right. Mike online asked a question, and his question is, when is housing affordability coming back? He's probably talking about the fact that we're getting all this money for these mobile homes, and he wants to know when affordable housing is coming back.
So I'm not sure about affordable housing for rent or affordable housing for buying?
I think what he means is, holy cow, I can't believe how expensive housing is right now.
For rent.
And it's not going to go down.
No, unfortunately, no.
Inflation has put its mark on rents and also houses right now.
Something bad happened, and I'm saying bad because it's not only the rents. I went and I bought a cream cheese of a big brand that everybody buy home. And I think you can imagine what cream cheese it is. And
is it the cream cheese for the town that we're next to?
Yes.
That's my favorite cream cheese, by the way.
Everybody's.
Yeah, I know.
And I went to Giant and I bought this cream cheese, 7 $7.
$7 for cream cheese.
$7. And I looked at it and I said, oh my God, what happened?
This is, but you know, when I do that, like when I fill up my tank with gas and the gas is really expensive and I buy $7 cream cheese, you know what I say? Which tenant is paying for this?
No, I get you.
I just got $1,000 a month raise, Omri.
So I am doing everything I can, as you know, to bring my beloved people here and to convince my beloved people that in real estate is the best thing.
Absolutely.
And the term I use to express how real estate is the best investment is you will have inflation protection for life.
So real estate, got $1,000 a month raise. Anybody online listening got $1,000 a month raise? I got $1,000 a month raise. You know how I got $1,000 a month raise?
I know.
I raised my rents.
By sending a letter.
Yeah, by sending a couple letters. Yeah,
I know.
That's it.
I know.
And they all send me back. They all send me a text message. Yep, we're staying. Of course they're staying. They're still under rent.
Of course.
Anyway, we got Bobby and Martin. What's going on, Bobby?
I will like your book, but what my question is if you become a landlord, how do you handle all the problems that come out of having
what
those
kind of
facilities?
Problems? What kind of problems?
The showers are stuck. The floor doesn't leak. The floor is buckling. The roof leaks.
So I'm going to guess.
Give us more.
I'm going to guess you're not a landlord, right, Bobby?
No, but my friend is, and he has one place, and he wants to start.
Right. He's not a landlord either. He's not a landlord either.
Exactly.
So I'm going to tell you how I handle all these problems with the acronym IMPC. So what IMPC stands for is. You remember, Omri?
No.
I make phone calls.
Okay.
Right? So when a tenant calls me up and says, hey, the toilet's overflowing, okay, whatever. I'll call you right back. I call a plumber, and I send a plumber over there. That's it. No big deal. I don't care. Look, you know, it's just like anything else. Bobby, you live in a house, I assume, right? Whether you own it or don't own it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if
I
you...
I do live in a house.
Do you own it?
Yes.
Okay, great. So when your toilet overflows, what do?
Call me.
I call the guy that wants to be a landlord.
But you make phone calls, exactly, right? So imagine you were one of my tenants, right? You're one of my tenants, and you call me up and you say, hey, the toilet's overflowing. What's the first thing I'm going to say? Hey, did you turn the water off, or is it stopped? Is it stopped leaking? And you're going to say yes or no. And I'm going to say, well, turn it off if it's not off, right? And sometimes you have to tell them actually to turn the valve because they don't even know.
Yeah.
But that's it. And then I'm saying, okay, I'll get a plumber out there. What are they going to say?
But when you, those guys cost a fortune now if you can get one.
Well, yeah. You know why you think it costs a fortune? Because you're not making a whole lot of money off a whole bunch of rental properties.
No, Bobby, there is something in what you say. Yes, providers cost more those days, but there are solutions for that. Yes, provider cost more, but rents also bring more money in.
Exactly.
And if you have more than one or two or three properties, sometimes it's worth it to hire a person. I have a person that work full position for me. He don't have full position to manage my properties. But now he provides service to other landlords. And it's also a way for me to make money. Don't worry about that. And if it's so worrying you, I can tell you that there are management companies, for example, that you will still have a real estate that will bring you money every month. And you will need to give a small portion to a management company that will clear your head and will make sure everything will run smooth for you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. I have an iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. And it has something called Do Not Disturb mode.
Yeah.
At 9:30 at night, my phone goes into Do Not Disturb mode.
Yeah, me too.
Right? And the only people who can call me are my direct family, because you can exclude certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were my tenant and you called me, guess what? I'm not answering the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to leave me a message. Because whatever it is, if it's an emergency and the house is burning down, I don't need to be there. If the toilet's overflowing, I don't need to be there. You know, you can wait just like anybody else. You'll wait till tomorrow. You'll leave me a message. I'll call you in the morning. And I'll solve the problem. I have never had a major problem. So I've been doing this for 42 years. I've never had a major problem. I had one tenant wreck the place. Like, took a sledgehammer to the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I was so happy he took that sledgehammer to the place. Bobby, you want to guess why I was so happy he took the sledgehammer to the place?
The insurance paid for it.
Exactly.
The insurance paid for it, exactly. So,
it was vandalism.
So once you understand how being a landlord really works, it's so great. Now, your friends should come to investor schooling also and learn how to be a landlord. Because I'm telling you right now, there's no such thing as bad tenants. There's only bad landlords. And once you learn how to be a good landlord, you're never going to have bad tenants if you're a good landlord. You'll have temporary bumps in the road with tenants, but that's it. I mean, rent's due on the 1st. On the 2nd, it's late. On the 5th, it's $150 late fee. And on the 15th, I file for eviction. And if you explain that to the tenant every single time and mean it, that means on the 15th, guess what you have to do? You have to file for eviction. There's no, my grandmother died and my car broke and blah, 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 blah. That's fantastic. I'm so sorry to hear that. Listen, I'm filing for eviction because it's the 15th. What? Too bad. See ya. Pay your rent. Now it's another $250 because I filed for eviction. And they're like, okay. And then they pay it and they never do it again. That's what you have to do. You have to be consistent, like with children. Get it, Bobby?
But in New Jersey, it's not that easy to evict people in New Jersey.
I'm sorry. Are you
no,
a landlord?
No.
Wait, hold on. Are you a landlord, Bobby?
No.
Then how do you know?
Because I do. And I just hear horror stories of friends.
Horror stories are from bad landlords that don't know what they're doing.
The horror stories are very, very unique.
Are what? You saying? Leave Malone?
Wait a minute, Larry. Are you saying that landlords never get tied up in court and it gets protracted and dragged out?
It's rare. It's rare.
You need to.
But the real problem, here's the real story that happens most of the time. Most of the time, this is what happens. The tenant says, hey, can I pay my rent late? And you go, okay. And then another month comes, hey, I'll pay you 2 months rent next month. Okay. And then 4 months later, it's like, they haven't paid their rent in 4 months. Well, when are you going to file for eviction? I don't know. They keep saying they're going to pay it. That's the real problem. If you have a tenant who is a professional landlord and knows how to work the system. Professional tenant knows how to work the system, they might get an extra 15 or 20 days from me, but that's all they're getting because I'm moving so fast for them. In fact, when I say to them, rent's due on the 1st, on the 2nd it's late, on the 5th it's $150 late fee, and on the 15th I file for eviction.
Correct.
Now listen, if you're in the hospital, your mother died, your grandmother died, you have a car accident, send me a text message or give me a call. I'm going to send you flowers, but I'm still filing for eviction.
And when you file, it doesn't mean they are out. It means the progress started.
Let's not get into the system.
So, I just want to refer to what Bobby said.
Right.
The fact that you file on the 15 or even on the 10, it doesn't mean they're out. It doesn't mean you want them out. And the story that you hear, Bobby, are from people that don't do it right and also from what's called professional tenants that know how to take advantage of the system the most they can. And still, if you do it the right way in New Jersey or in Pennsylvania, it can't be more than 3 months, 90 days.
If it's 3 months, you did something wrong.
It's with an appeal.
Right.
And after the appeal, mm-hmm. you go and you file again and you do all that. With all that, it can't reach over 3 months.
I don't even think it would reach that much.
I agree.
And Philadelphia is the worst, Bobby. It's
correct.
So bad that I don't even want to deal with it. Like, they have this whole thing called the diversion program now. Which it's like you have a lease that says if you don't pay your rent, you're going to be evicted, right?
We need the rattle from Purim.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Every time you say Philadelphia and the diversion program, we need to do that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, here we go. Let's
every
see
time
we,
you say, yeah, because,
let's see we do.
Because
say
Philadelphia.
Say Philadelphia.
Because Philadelphia. Exactly. And their way is so anti-landlord.
Yeah.
It's so. They believe that all landlords are Russian oligarchs that are here to get rich on poor people and to throw people to the street. And that's completely wrong. Completely, completely wrong. And that's why me also, I don't put my money in Philadelphia. Why? Because Philadelphia don't... because the city, they don't benefit me and my investment in any way.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, they have programs now where before you can even go to court,
mm-hmm.
they have something called a diversion program where you have to sit down with a moderator to decide, a mediator, to decide whether you can evict them or not, or maybe work something out. Well, it's totally ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Tell me, Mr. Tenant, why haven't you paid?
Yeah, why haven't you paid? Well, because I decided not to, because I live in Philadelphia.
Because it's so easy for me, right?
And I don't have to pay rent.
Yeah, Philadelphia don't ask you to pay rent.
In fact, in Philadelphia, you know, you could rob stores now. I forgot to do it. Yeah. You could rob stores in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I heard that.
And they won't even arrest you.
So when was it?
So you think Jersey bad?
Huh. Yeah. 2 years ago, I think it was that the riots were going in Philadelphia and all the stores covered their windows with plywood.
Yeah.
With 4x8 plywood.
Yeah, which they had to buy themselves.
And that, exactly. And then you look at it and you say, how bad the situation here?
Right.
How can it be that all those store owners don't trust their police, their city, nothing? Because I believe they know something that we don't.
All right, Bobby, we're gonna let you go because it sounds like you reached your destination. But before you go, let Glenn take your address so we can give you the book.
Oh, great! Thank you.
You got it, man.
You forgot about it. You're a man of your word.
And come to Investor Schooling.
Yeah, and learn how to be a landlord.
InvestorSchooling.com.
That's why I want to read the book.
Yeah,
and absolutely.
You will see that being a landlord, it's not as scary as you believe.
Being a landlord is actually great.
Larry Steinhaus is a guy that I met before. He liked to say, never learn from poor people. And there is a very, very good reason for that.
Yeah, don't listen to poor people.
Only listen to those who have experience in what they recommend for you. Ask them how many times they did that. Don't go with rumors. Rumors are the worst.
Yeah, go with real experience.
Exactly.
With real people who are doing it, and you'll have so much more funny and
money.
You'll be making the money.
All
right, Bobby, thanks for calling. We're going to get your address. Glenn's going to get your address right now. All right, we got a few minutes, Mr. Armory.
Yes, Mr. Steinhaus.
What do you want to do? You want to bash annuities again?
No, we're done. Who is after us?
Some show. I don't know.
Would they talk about annuities?
I'm not allowed to say their name.
Why would you?
I was warned.
I know. Why would you?
You know why I was warned? Who I was warned from, right? I was warned from WPHT when they... me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We are still here. It's very hard to kick us. It's very, very hard. I know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyway,
we are tired today.
I know. It's a tired day.
I know.
So we're going to go after the show. We're going to go look at a property, right? We're going to go look at one of my properties.
Could be.
That's almost ready to rent. So here's an interesting thing. Bobby, you probably appreciate this if you're still listening. I had a property that I bought with a tenant in it. So I've owned this property for, I don't know, 8 years maybe?
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, with a tenant in it. And, you know, the tenant was paying low rent, and I kept raising it, but I didn't raise it much. And he finally left. He finally left, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago. I decided to completely renovate the unit. So remember when Armory said that he has this guy that he works for him? So I use this guy every once in a while so Armory can make the guy's payroll.
Yes.
And we're completely renovating the apartment, and it looks so beautiful, doesn't it?
It looks amazing because it looks like a brand new place.
Right.
We didn't replace the kitchen, but we reinstalled the kitchen so it will be...
Right, because the kitchen cabinets, I did the kitchen cabinets about... Four years ago.
So it will be the right way.
And I didn't write it. And they weren't put in right, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is.
New bathroom. New paint.
And we put a new bathroom floors, in. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Everything.
It looks absolutely gorgeous.
And the house looks gorgeous. Exactly.
So we think that... So I'm going to get more rent like I always do.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I often tell people if they're a landlord and they own properties is renovate the property better than you would than if it was just a rental. So I always renovate it as if I was going to sell it. I want it to look beautiful in case I do need to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you never know. Something might happen when I have to sell a property.
I know.
And, you know, it's a fire sale. To me, a fire sale is I have to sell it quickly. But if I have it beautiful, at least in a fire sale, I'm going to get a lot of money for it.
So
that's why I do it.
You know, I'm looking for more properties. I also think about maybe buying a house for myself. And I am in a conflict in this market because I try to add value to each one of my properties. Mm-hmm. Because the same way that you think, I always think if, for God's sake, something happened to me, to my wife, to one of my kids, and I need to sell fast because I need to fly them to Timbuktu to get a special operation, for God's sake, mm-hmm. I don't know what. I can sell fast without losing.
Right.
And that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
That's how I think. And I also want to know that if something does happen to me, I can move in.
Yeah, so, and it's another thing. So what he just said is one of the keys to the way I've been investing since I was 18 years old. I have a lot of properties that I would not want to live in,
mm-hmm.
but every single one of them I can live in. What I mean by that is they're nice enough for me to walk in there, live in there, and feel like I'm comfortable.
Home,
yeah. I could, and if it's home to me, it's home to my tenants. And that's another reason why I have good tenants and another reason why I'm a good landlord
mm-hmm.
and things go well for me.
Don't be a slamlord.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be a slamlord because if you will give to people a nice place to take care of, they will take care of it. If they won't appreciate the place because the kitchen is broken, the electricity doesn't work right, they won't appreciate the place, they won't take care of the place. Give them a place they
That's
want
right.
to take care of.
And it's possible they won't take care of it anyway, but it's easier to fix a property that was done right the first time.
Agreed.
It's easier to fix it. So that's another reason why it's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they take a sledgehammer to it, go, thank you. You're going to be arrested.
Things happen.
You're going to be arrested, and yeah. I'm going to get money from the insurance company. So thank you very much. I totally appreciate you destroying my property
yeah.
for me.
Things happen.
So that's great. Anyway, we got a little bit about almost 30 seconds left.
Really?
Yeah, the show went quick.
I know.
Today. So this is now the Larry Steinhaus Show. I am Larry Steinhaus of Investor Schooling, and you can get a free class at Investor Schooling by going to investorschooling.com. And if you go to investorschooling.com, you can sign up and be here on Thursday.
Please
and
come.
And you can meet Omri, you can meet myself. And listen, if you happen to have an annuity and you made the mistake of buying an annuity, come see me. I have some options for you that might work to get out, but sometimes I tell people, look, you already made the mistake. It is what it is. All right. InvestorSchooling.com. We're looking forward to seeing you on Thursday, and Omri will give you the phone number on Thursday as well. See you Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com.
Bye-bye.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.